Well, it's a good thing to be in church today, and thank you for joining us. Thank you for each of you for being here, whether you're a member for 50 years or whether this is the first time you've been here. We are just certainly glad you're here, and I hope you feel this way, because this is the way I feel, that we just all get to come together and rejoice in the Lord and spend time together and gather around the cross of Jesus Christ, and all because of Calvary. That song that we sang that Brother Daniel started us off on was written by Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. Our kids used to listen to the CDs of Patch the Pirate, and he was just a man used of the Lord to write a lot of music and some kids programs and things as well. He went to heaven this week, and now he doesn't have to sing about those the seeing the Savior. He already has. And this has been a week where different folks that have stood for the Lord have gone on to be with him. Of course, you have Charles Stanley, the pastor from down in Atlanta. He went to heaven just here recently. And Russell Anderson, a fellow that's of Howells Anderson College up in Indiana, the Anderson of that college, he went to heaven as well. And some of these folks have been preaching, singing, and just bragging on Jesus for a long time, and now they're with him. And one of these days, that'll be us too. And I trust that you're here today. And if you're not 100% sure that you've got your faith placed solely in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you do that before you leave today, because nobody will get to heaven by being in this church or any other church, or being in this church and every other church. A lot of times, we don't get there because of our rituals and our religions. We only get there through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure that your faith is placed fully and truly in him as your Savior, only him, then I pray, my friend, that you get it taken care of today. Because that's what we're all about, showing people the way of the cross and showing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're thankful that you're here. Glad that the Lord has brought us all together. My wife and I, we went this week. We went to Ohio, just made a quick trip to go up and tie a knot in a marriage real quick. And I was telling somebody on the other phone yesterday, I said, well, I got back from that funeral. And she said, John, it wasn't a funeral, it was a wedding. And I said, well, I that was a complete slip of the tongue. It was a wedding. And I don't think that means anything about their future together. So, but we had a good time, went up there, just some folks from the church that we'd pastored, and their sweet daughter got married, and we're thankful to have a part of that. We got up there, and I was driving. Amy was working on some stuff in the front seat, diligently working. And so I pulled in, she kept working, and I went out and got those buggies. You know, they got in the inside of the hotel, and I went and got it and put all the suitcase and all that on there. And I told Amy, well, let's go. And then she come in, walking in with me, still working on a few things. I got in there to the front counter, no attendant around. And so I got the buggy, went back out, still no attendant then, but we got back in, still no attendant. So Amy was working, looking at some stuff on her phone, and finally we get there to the desk, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Nobody comes in. Finally, Amy gets done. She looks up and says, John, this is the wrong hotel. So we're not at the Holiday Inn Express. And so then I was glad that person didn't come. I said, well, just I'm going to take their buggy out and use it one more time. So I rolled it back out to the car and put our suitcase and my suit and her dress, everything back up in there, reeled it back in. And I just kind of tipped my hat and said, thanks for the use of that. And so we weren't at the Holiday Inn Express. We were at the Sleep Inn next door. And so there's a couple of morals of that story. Number one, I should check those things out and say, which one we going to? I just was routed, and that's the one, and they were so close, it just took me to that one. Or she should pay more attention where she leads me around to. So, but we had a good time anyways. And so after we got to the hotel, they actually had a room for us. And so we're thankful that the mother and father of the bride, they put us up there at the hotel. We were able to be a blessing to that family. And so we enjoyed all of it, and we're thankful for it. Well, I do want to preach to you for a little bit about about a subject that is so very important. I'll explain when we get there. You'll think that we're going to really dive in on Galatians, because in the evenings on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through Galatians, and I'll continue that tonight, Lord willing. And but this passage is the passage I want to preach from is something we'll get to here in probably several weeks. I know what I'll preach then, I think, but I just feel led that the Lord would have us go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 18. I forgot to tell the AV folks, so it might not be up on there. Galatians 5, verse 16. While you're finding your place there at Galatians 5, verse number 16, I usually like to start off with something a little bit funny. I did hear this story about this husband and wife lived there, of course, in their house. And one time, he out of nowhere, she just came up and she just hit him in the back of the head with his little frying pan, just whop. And he said, oh, my goodness. And he said, what in the world is that for? And she said, well, that, sir, is for that piece of paper that I found in your pocket that said Mary Lou. She said, I don't like that. And he said, honey, that ain't nothing. He said, that wasn't it. Well, not what you think. He said, that's the name of a horse down at that horse track. She said, well, you know, I don't even like that. That you shouldn't be doing that, wasting money on those kind of things. You shouldn't be doing that. She said, but that's better than the other, I guess. I thought you were having some other lady and that was her name in there. And she said, I'm sorry. Forgive me. He said, that's all right. It's all right. Well, a few days passed. And then first time she used this little pan, a few days passed, she had this big old pan. And this time she just really walloped him from the back and knocked him half over. And then he got up and said, what in the world was that for? She said, well, your horse just called. So, moral of that story, be honest, men. Live right, too. Well, have you ever wondered why it's so hard sometimes just to do right? You ever wonder sometimes why it's just hard to make the right decisions again and again, or why you sit with regret after, man, I did it again? Those struggles we have in our Christian life, all of us, the Bible talks about those besetting sins, things that just hammer us again and again and again. We just get up one time, then fall back down again. Or why is it that a relationship you've got in your life is just continually on a rocky road? Before you know it, you're sticking your foot in your mouth. You're saying things that you regret later. You're doing things that, wow, you shouldn't have done. Well, I want to preach to you, if it's a secret, there's no secrets in the Word of God. But I want to preach to you why we oftentimes have so much trouble with those things. If you're saved in here this morning, if you're a child of God, you know the Lord is your Savior, then there's something that you ought to be doing that's going to help you with all of those areas where you find yourself getting in trouble. And I don't mean trouble as in somebody comes to you and says, shame on you. But those kind of things where you say, oh, I should have done better at that. And I want you to look at this passage in Galatians chapter number 5 and look at verse 16, talking about taking a walk. And that's what I'd like to preach on for this morning, just for a few moments, about take a walk, folks. This I say then, verse 16, Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, sometimes we think of lust being a sensual thing, but truly that lust of the flesh could be anything you desire or those things that aren't right that your flesh just wants. It doesn't have to be a sensual type of lust, but it can be. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, whether it's true or not, I've heard so many times in illustrations that there was a missionary that had gone to some Native American folks and had led some of them to the Lord and was trying to minister to them. And one time after a trip back to see these folks, they were asking them, well, how's your spiritual walk going? But how's that walk with Jesus going? And that person answered back to them and says, well, I feel like I have a black dog and a white dog in me, and they're fighting one against the other. And the missionary said, well, who's winning? And the recent convert said, well, whichever dog I feed the most seems to be winning. And you know, I don't know if that's a true story or not. I've heard it a lot of times, but it is true in your life. You do have, in verse number 17, the flesh, the spirit lusts against the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You've got two natures in you. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you know the Lord as your Savior, unfortunately, you did not shed the flesh after you got saved. You still keep that around because you're still in this body. You got that old nature. And that's why you have trouble with things. That's why you struggle. Sometimes we thought when we got saved that, wow, it'd just all be roses now. Everything will be good. How many of you found out that wasn't true? Well, because the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. These two are contrary one to the other. And I want to preach for just a little while about that. I don't think I prayed yet. Let's do that. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us in our search of scriptures this morning. May you help your people, dear Lord, I pray. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We look today at this walk in the Spirit. God wants all of us to walk. If you're a child of God, he wants you to walk in the Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, the one verse that I often go to before I preach, the Bible says this: if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Lord wants us to be filled with him. The Lord wants us to be led by him. The Lord wants you to make decisions based on what God would do. Sometimes people wear those little bracelets, WWJD. Well, if you're going to find that stands for what would Jesus do? Well, if you're going to find out what would Jesus do, you got to find the book that he wrote and get in it and read it and find it and let it get in you and then be led of him. I find this though, folks, most of the time that I get in trouble, most of the time that I find myself spouting off, most of the time I find myself saying things that I later regret for having said, most of the time I did not do something that I didn't know I shouldn't do. I did what I knew I shouldn't have done all along. I just was in a little bad frame of mind right then. And I venture to say that most of you are the same way. It's not like we accidentally say, wow, I did not realize when I said that that would offend you. We usually know it will. We enjoy it so much. We say it twice. But the Bible says that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And I want you to know this. Sometimes we think it's a mysterious task to be walking in the Spirit. But actually, if you're a Christian, it's just normal. And I want to show you that this morning. And I trust you be listening to the Word of God. And I hope it's a help to you. Because God never commands you to do something that you cannot do in his help. So when he says, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, that, my friend, is a task that you and I can do as believers. God doesn't tell you something that you can't ever accomplish. And so now we see that we can accomplish it. But I want you to look at this. I want to take a couple aspects out of the scriptures here. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 16, it's an empowering walk. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's an empowering walk, meaning that it's one that gives you strength to go through the day. I don't know about you, but I think I know that I'm not the only one that struggles with saying things you're not supposed to say, not saying things when you should supposed to say it. Sometimes you do things and all of the attitude that you might get, you have a bad day. Some people have bad weeks. Some people have bad month. I know a few people, it looks like they've been having a bad lifetime. So we understand that we get in bad ways sometimes. But this walk in the Spirit, the Bible calls it, says that's an empowering walk. Y'all know what a moped is, right? My brother got one time. My mom got it somewhere. It was a hand-me-down, past hand-me-down, past hand-me-down. It had been fixed and fixed and fixed, and it was not much by the time we got. But a moped, not a motor scooter, just a moped. It looks like a big bicycle on steroids and had big bulky frame on it. But then there were pedals sticking out there. And so you'd pedal it if you were feeling froggy and you wanted to get some exercise. Or you turn the little motor on, it would go for you. Well, by the time Dan got it, it had a motor, but it didn't run very good. It was almost on the cusp of running. You know those deals. When you find something on Craigslist now, I don't think Craigslist existed back then. But when you find something on Craigslist, just needs a little work. Or TLC. Or for Joey Green, mechanic special. What mechanic special means is it's not like it should be yet, but with somebody with a lot of experience and a good little bit of money could make it the way it needs to be. Well, Dan got this thing. And so those mopeds, though, it's a big old heavy frame bicycle. And we had to pedal that one everywhere it went. But now what they're supposed to do is start that little engine, and then it either assists you or it does it all by itself. And boy, if that engine would ever run, that's a mighty nice help to what you're trying to get accomplished as you travel. And I see this morning that, as the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This walk that I'm trying to talk to us all about is an empowering walk. I can put my finger this morning on why it's so hard for us to continually come to church, why it's so hard for us continually live right, continually to be in a good example to our family or to our friends or to our coworkers. And I think the reason that we have a hard time staying in church, living right, being a good example, being a kind husband, being a loving wife, whatever the case might be, I think the reason we're having trouble doing all those things, we are trying to do it in our own power. Because the Bible gives you the command of what you're supposed to do. Husbands, love your wives. I quoted that verse this week for that wedding. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Do you understand? That's the command. But that's a hard command if you're doing it in your own power. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the command. But if you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not submitting yourself to God above and trying to let Him live His life through you, live your life out through you, then that is a hard command to follow. And so the reason that we find ourselves speaking before we think, the reason we find ourselves oftentimes spouting off and being unkind to people is because we're trying to live our lives in our own power. It's so hard to walk right, look right, be nice and say kind things and act right and not retaliate and snap back at people if all I'm doing is just trying to do my best. But if you've got a controlling force that's helping you, then you can find yourself in that empowered walk, because the Bible says if you would walk in the Spirit, then you won't do this. And that is, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's hard to walk right because we're not empowered by the Lord. But He tells us to be. I was trying to redeem a coupon one time, and I had it all figured out at the store, and you got the coupon, came through the mail or email, one or the other, and so I had it printed out, though, and I had it to the guy, but there was lots of fine print, you know, and that was before I got my reading glasses. I couldn't get it all down through there, and had all this fine print, and then there were some fees, other things involved, because I had it figured out, if it worked like that coupon said it would, I'd be getting it for almost free. So free sounded good to me. Amy says I'm a cheapskate, so I thought, well, that's what I'll do. And so I went and I gave it to that guy, and he said, well, that's going to be, and it was almost as much as it should have been normally. I said, well, what about the coupon? Then he said, well, right here and right here and right here, and he showed me all these things, and he could tell I was not happy because I was going to have to pay for something. And he just looked to put his hands in. He said, well, how much did you want to pay? Real smart aleck. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That's about the time when you feel that anger coming up the back of your spine, you know. Oh, I'm going to give it to this fella. I didn't. I held my tongue. I thought I was such a good Christian, but I don't think I was, because I'm like that one preacher said. I didn't say anything unkind or didn't cuss at him, but if somebody else had written the words down, I might have signed it and said, here, read that for a while for your pleasure. But you know, there's things that happen to you all the time. And if you're not careful, you'll spout off that mouth of ours. We'll spew some unkind things to our spouse. And we can't call them back in. I've tried. It doesn't work. And we'll do that. But the remedy for that is to walk in the Spirit. And we want to talk a little bit more about it. But I see an empowering walk. But the thing about it is, when you do start walking this way, you say, well, Pastor, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, you yield yourself to the Lord. You yield yourself to Him. You yield yourself to Him and say, Lord, I can't do it, but You can. You've got much more experience, much more power, much more availability. Lord, it's all You. And so I'm going to yield myself to You. Lord, this tongue that I can't control, I'm giving it to You. These actions that get me in trouble, I'm giving them to You. And really, it's much simpler than we think it is. You just yield to the Lord and ask Him, God, would You please help me? Like I told you about that little moped, when you get the power from somewhere else, it helps the whole thing go a whole lot better. I see that we've got an empowering walk, but I want you to see, after you do yield yourself to the Lord, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I want you to see also, not only is it an empowering walk, but it's a constant walk. If you look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Let me tell you, if you decide to walk in the Spirit, it's a constant decision, because you'll think you're doing great. You give it all to Jesus and say, God, You know my temper gets me in trouble, so I'm going to give it to You. Would you help me walk right, talk right, act right to the people who are around me, be a kind person to my family? It's a shame that sometimes families' rooms or houses rather look more like a war zone than they do a family. And that's oftentimes because one fleshly person is wrestling against another fleshly person, and neither one of us are willing to yield to the Lord. I'm saying this morning that what a person needs to do is just say, God, you know my troubles, you know my frailties, I'm going to give that to you. Help me walk in your spirit. And you'd think that would do it, but it doesn't. Because as soon as you do that and you get the right frame of mind and you do walk in the spirit, then we find that the Bible says in verse number 17, it doesn't say there's any quitting on this. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. And I find that this is going to go on continually until Jesus takes us home. You already have that flesh. I told you it's in pretty good shape on most of us. It can spout back something before you can even think. The question is, though, are you going to let the Spirit of God, God Himself, lead, guide, and direct you? Or will you just capitulate to the flesh and just say, well, that's what I want to do anyways? And you see, that's what's happening in our culture. Most people just say, well, I want it to do that so bad, so it must be right. Oh, I want to do lots of things that aren't right. And so the Bible says I'm supposed to give it to the Lord, walk in the Spirit. But let me show you what I mean by the constant walk. Because there's never any discharge from this war. It's a constant walk again and again. How many times you have to weed out the flowers out of your, or the weeds rather. How many times you got to weed your flower bed? Once? Don't you wish? If you love flowers, somebody said you have to hate weeds. But if you love those flowers and you want to all look pristine, you have to do it again and again and again. Did you ever notice that in a crack in the sidewalk out here or at your house, there'll be some weed that grows up in the crack of that sidewalk? You walk over that thing. You and every one of your kids walk over it every day. Yet that resilient weed, it just pops up there and it's got all the power that it can muster. And it just shines. You take that and you contrast it with a little bit of your yard over here that you had to do some work to, and you had to scrape some things off and dig something out, and then you babied that thing over there, and you put some topsoil on it, you threw some grass seed down, put some straw on top of that, you've been watering it, and you've got grass that's a half an inch tall. Those weeds just will come strong and without any effort on our part. And my friend, that's about the way some of my bad traits are. I don't have to give them much petting. I don't have to give them much attention. I don't have to give them much help or consideration. They just pop right up out of there. And if there was a reward for bad deeds, we all would be in great shape today. That's why I'm saying it's a constant walk, because the Spirit's always going to have that desire against the flesh, and the flesh is always going to want to rear up against you. And so I see here this constant walk that you and I have to be in. I'd love to say that you could just come down to this altar and say, God, I give my life to you, not in salvation, but as a Christian already. God, I give my life to you. Now help me walk every day for the rest of my life in a pleasing way, and help me not to say the things I ought not to say. Help me to be kind to my family and kind to my friends. Help me to be who you want me to be. And you walk, or you stand up, and you feel so good because you're dedicated to the cause of walking in the Spirit. But do you know, before you get back to where Morgan Edwards is right there, somebody could look at you sideways and say, I don't like the way that guy looked. And you can let the flesh rear up on you almost as soon as you get up from the altar. Right? I'm not the only one that has this, right? We say, Pastor, we don't face that problem. I think we all do. We don't even want to get out the parking lot and see how fast you go on 26. We're not even preaching about that this morning. I'm saying that it's a constant walk. Boy, it's a constant walk. And I guess God made it that way so that you would have to continually be coming to Him. It's not a one and done thing. Oh, no, I already did that. I did that. Let me go on to the next idea, the next entry. It's not only an empowering walk if we walk the Lord, but boy, it's a constant walk. I'm going to give you the last one, though. It is a freeing walk. It's an enabling walk. It's a delightful walk, if you want. It's a freeing walk in verse number 18, and we'll give you this last one. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's a decision a person has to make as a Christian. Do you walk in the Spirit? You say, again, you may be thinking that's so mysterious. No, really, it's just you confessing all the things that you've got wrong in your life as a Christian, giving over to the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me. Now help me walk in this life that I've got to live in a way that's pleasing to you. And I can tell you this, the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, it's a freeing walk, meaning it takes a load off, is the way we would say it now. Have you ever been roller skating? I haven't been for a long time. After you get off those roller skates and, you know, your wheels on the bottom of your feet, you know, of course, you're unstable. That's the gist of why you're going roller skating. So you wheel along. And then when you get off, you remember how strange that feels when you're walking back on solid ground? You ever had a big backpack on, whether you're hiking or doing something or just playing around? And then when you take that thing off and it weighs 50, 30, 40, 50 pounds, you take that off, you feel like you're about going to fall over like one of those little toys. That's a freeing feeling. I had that load on, now I don't. Can I tell you, if you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says you wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but it also says that you're not under the law, you're not under all of that. I remember one of the teachers specifically I had for literature, Ms. Harris. And boy, oh boy, when we come to that, she had a lot of assignments due. And us guys would get together when several of us didn't have our work done. And we'd try to get her talking about everything except literature. What the weather was like, what was going to happen here, what was going to here. Why? Because we weren't prepared for the requirements that she was going to give us at the end of class. Now, if it worked out sometime that we had all of our assignments due, our papers were written, we were prepared to hand them in, we had no problem coming into class. We didn't feel like I used to think about one of these guys in Bible college, the same thing, if we didn't have some of the work done. Boy, and preachers are the worst about this, and these pastors would come in and teach our classes. Well, if you could get this one guy started on just the woes of the day, the wickedness of the day, I said, brother, what do you think about that? Oh, man, he would just start off. And then as soon as he saw him start landing that airplane, then you just throw something else in there about how wicked the world was. Oh, and then he'd start flying again. And boy, we could get a whole class out of that fella. And he never did get to what we were supposed to be doing. But if you've got all your work done, you don't need to throw those antics in and try to get them off topic, because you're free. I don't care. Ask for the assignment anytime you want to, because I've got it right here. And I think about that as the Bible says that we are walking in the Spirit and we are not under the law. My friend, it's just a freeing walk. If you just give your life to Jesus Christ as a believer and just walk in the Spirit. I tell you one thing. You don't have to go apologize to near as many people if you do it like this. You don't have to go back, because here's what happens inevitably. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives inside of you, yet you aren't walking in the Spirit like you're supposed to be doing, then you inevitably throw those daggers out of your mouth. And then what happens? The Lord comes and convicts you of it. And what do you have to do? Go back to your family or go back to whoever and says, I'm sorry, I was ugly. I shouldn't have been acting that way. Well, of course you shouldn't have been. You know how you could have prevented that? If you'd have got the attitude that you have now back before you said those things. It's a freeing walk. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, it's not only that empowering walk, it gives us the power. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But again, as it's a constant walk, you got to do it again, again, again. Don't just think you can say at the end of the day today or end of church today, say, well, honey, I'm going to treat you nice. God, please help me treat my spouse nice from here on. You got to re-up for that again and again. It's a constant walk. But boy, is it a freeing walk. And I trust that every believer in this room today would decide to walk in the way that the Lord would have you do. Don't get caught up and think, oh, I don't know. If I'm no preacher, I'm no pastor, I'm no missionary, I'm no lady speaker even, I'm no this, I'm no that. I don't think I can do all. That's not for those folks. It is, but not only for those. It's for every Christian, that you just yield yourself to the Spirit of God. That's the way God works our lives. He, through His Spirit, through the third part of the Trinity. And just say, Lord, help me. When I walk up to the counter, help me to remember that I'm representing you. Help me to be kind to everybody I talk to. When I go into my house, help me not to be a big bear bull in a china shop and just be blundering around and saying things I ought not to say. Help me to be a representative of Christ. As I go into my marriage, help me to be that person that Jesus wants me to be. Holy Spirit of God, please empower me. Help me. It's a lot simpler than we think it is. It just takes work. If you're a Christian here today, I hope that you would make the decision. I will try to continually give myself to the Lord and walk in His paths. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you say, Pastor, some of these things sound strange to me. I understand about trying to be nice, but I'm not talking about being nice in your own power. You say, Pastor, I don't understand all these things. It seems strange to me that you'd have something inside telling you what to do. I have something telling me inside what to do, but sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Well, we all have a conscience, yes. But what I'm talking about is something so much greater than that, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And God would actually come and live within you. Not that you can see, but you can sure notice his presence. If you're here today and you say, I want my life to be better, I want to be a kinder husband, a kinder wife, kinder all these. Can I tell you, those things will come, but the biggest need, the base need, the foundational need in your life, if you're not saved, is for you to get your sins forgiven and have the Lord come into your life. Forgive your sins and wash them away so that you can be promised heaven as your home when you leave this world. And then you can lean on the Lord. You can be led by the Lord. And you can learn to walk in His precepts. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you won't live a good life just by saying, I'm going to be better. Oh, you may be. But that won't settle the biggest problem you got. And that is, what's going to happen to me when I leave this world? So my invitation is two-pronged today. One, if you're a saved individual, you know the Lord is your Savior. You know who you are. Wouldn't you make a commitment today? You don't have to come down here, although you can. Wouldn't you make a commitment today? Maybe you've done it hundreds of times. I hope you have. But for the first time or for the thousandth time, wouldn't you make a commitment today? Lord, I want to walk in your Spirit. My family deserves better. My neighbors deserve better. My Jesus deserves better for me to walk in the way that He wants me to. That's the first prong. The second and final prong is this. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you know there's something going on in your heart. You know there's something drawing you. There's something that makes you realize that, well, I don't have it all together. Something needs to be different in my life. Can I tell you what that different needs to be in your life? You need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins so that heaven would be your home. You and I, we've all sinned against a holy God. We've got a big problem. And those sins against the holy God can't be taken care of by you setting out today to say, from here on, I'm going to do better. What about from here back? And not only that, but from here on, you're not going to do as good as you think you're going to do. You've got to get those sins taken care of. And the only way that they can be taken care of, only way they can be forgiven, is by coming to Jesus Christ and asking Him to wash them away through His precious blood and save your soul. So that's the second prong of the invitation. It's for everybody in this room and everybody watching. If you're a saved individual, wouldn't you make the decision today, I will yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be spooked about that. That's just God. God, the Bible says, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. They're all three individual, but all three in one. Nothing spooky about that. I will yield myself to God, and I'll try to be led by Him. And then if you're not sure you're saved, oh, my friend, today's the day. Come to Jesus Christ. Don't spend another worried, sleepless night about what would happen if you die. Get it settled. Come to Jesus as your only hope of heaven. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that you would come upon this crowd, and I pray that every person does what they ought to do in reference to what you've led them in. I pray, dear Lord, for every soul in this room, if they're unsaved, they would be saved. Lord, if they're saved, might they start out today afresh and anew to walk in the Spirit, and they would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if you need to come, then this altar is open for you. I challenge anybody to come make a decision, an old-fashioned altar. Walk in the Spirit, my friend. It's the only way to have that peace, to have that freedom. Would you walk in the Spirit of the God? And if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, oh, my friend, please, Brother Daniel, standing in front of the pulpit that I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. It's a simple thing. Jesus loved you so much, He died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again in victory. Are you tired of your sin? Tired of your life? Why don't you just come to Christ? Let Him save your soul. This verse is for you. Come if the Lord's dealing with you. Thank you so much. You may look this way. It's been a real pleasure to be in God's house. I trust that you feel the same. And I'm going to slip back to the lobby. If Amy and I can do anything for any of you, please stop by and let us know. We'll greet as many as we can, but please stop by and see us. And then I'm going to have Brother Daniel prop this door open too. I know many of you are parking over here on the newer parking lot. Thank you for that. Thank you for helping alleviate some of the pressure in parking. But if you choose to go out this way, it just goes down a flight of steps there, then goes right out the sidewalk. And so if you want to make that easier, then you're certainly welcome to do that. But thank you for being here. And others of you slid in to help somebody find a seat. Thank you. Thank you for making it easy on folks to come in. It's just a joy to be at church with God's people. And sometimes you just feel like you want to stand here and look for a little while, because you never know when these things will be taken away from you. Good people that we know aren't able to be here today because of one thing or another. And I know they'd love to be. And so I challenge you to take it all in, and also challenge you on your way out. Talk to two or three people who you haven't got to talk to on the way in. Just take a couple extra minutes. Fellowship together and tell them an encouraging word. Tell them it's good to see them. Tell them they're looking good. Tell them their hair looks nice. Tell them looks like you haven't lost too much this week or whatever you got, Stephen Gallion. Looks like you haven't got the same amount you had last week. So whatever the case might be. And tell them they're looking good. Tell them they're losing weight. Tell them whatever. Don't tell them they're gaining weight. If that's what you got to say, find something else. But what a joy to be in church. Brother Daniel, we're going to have you come and pray. And then I'll slip to the back. And thank you for being here. God bless you so much. And he'll dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us to be in church. We thank you for a powerful message and a reminder that we all need. And we, Lord, pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray as we go, we'd have a wonderful time around one another and a great afternoon. And then bless the service tonight, the family fun night after the service. Lord, we're just so grateful for our church. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.